This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 7:17 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So for our next story, civil society organisations are objecting to the Independent Police Conduct Commission Bill or the IPCC Bill in its current form. So we want to take a look at why and also what could be done to make it better.
So this is coming on the wake of Amnesty International Malaysia calling for people to reject the Independent Police Conduct Commission or IPCC Bill 2020, saying that essentially it is a watered-down version of the demand for a Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission or IPCMC. And just to go through why they are saying that, so the IPCC, as it stands, has weak investigating powers. They say that IPCC doesn't have the power to take disciplinary action against police misconduct and that police officers can sit on or be members of the commission, and therefore sort of undercutting a lot of the reasons why the commission was proposed for in the first place.
Honestly, it's in the name, right? Independent. I mean, it's one of those things where it is really right there. And when you look at it, it's a little bit hard to square that away. And I think that this is particularly crucial because every time there is any mention of, for example, death in custody, any examples of severe misconduct, the call for the IPCMC is once more renewed. And so to see that it is not happening, but also to look at the IPCC and what it can cover or what it may not be able to cover is, I think, is quite aggravating for those reasons. And a memorandum was jointly submitted to the MPs in Parliament yesterday. Organizations that signed on, aside from Amnesty, include CIJ, the Center for Independent Journalism, Caged, Citizens Against Enforced Disappearances, MCCHR, Swaram, ProHam. So just a number of civil society organizations all kind of united in this call, right, for, well, the IPCC to be re-looked at fundamentally. So we want to talk about this and we'd also like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the IPCC bill? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And for more, we're crossing over to Brian Yap, research consultant at Amnesty International Malaysia. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi Lynn and hi Sharmila. Thank you for having me and for covering this very important issue.
So could you walk us through some of the key points of the current IPCC bill and how it differs from the previously proposed IPCMC?
Well, we think the IPCC bill essentially strips out whatever meaningful authority and power the previously proposed IPCMC has. We think the IPCC bill is basically an attempt to give an impression that police reforms are being carried out when it's actually the opposite. So along with other human rights organizations, our key areas of concern are, you know, the limited scope of powers. The IPCC bill essentially exempts the commission from investigating any act provided for in the Inspector General standing orders. And this is what governs issues such as the conduct of arrests, the treatment of detainees, and on matters related to the permissible use of weapons, amongst others. The IPCC bill also stipulates an early notice requirement for site visits. So basically, the commission that's established would need to give notice to the head of department before it can visit police premises or detention centers. I mean, I think this basically crystallizes, you know, how weak this law is. And also, the IPCC bill does not provide for powers of search and seizure. And such powers, we believe, are crucial in conducting investigations into certain types of misconduct, especially deaths in custody. And furthermore, the IPCC deprives the commission of enforcement powers as it removes disciplinary powers or the power to compel action based on its recommendations. So what this means is basically that upon the conclusion of an investigation and where allegations of misconduct are determined, the commission is only empowered to, you know, refer findings to a relevant authority, be it the MACC, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, or the Police Force Commission. It cannot do anything more than that. And these are just a few examples of the key points of this IPCC bill and why it's so weak.
So one thing a lot of civil rights organizations are arguing is that the rakyat would actually be worse off with the IPCC than without. Why is this so?
Well, currently, oversight of the police comes under the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, the EAIC, which is also responsible for all enforcement agencies, not just the police. Now, the EAIC has not been effective in its duties, and this is something that a former chairperson themselves admitted back in 2016, and expressing concern that its recommendations are not followed. But at the very least, the EAIC has investigation powers. It has the powers to perform search and seizure, as mentioned, and it can summon witnesses to compel and also compel the production of documents. The IPCC, on the other hand, has more limited investigation powers. It has no powers to perform search and seizures. And under the IPCC, witnesses can refuse to answer any question if it exposes the person to criminal charge or penalty. And it can also withhold documents if a head of department deems its production would be prejudicial to national security or interests, or if it's under the OSA. These vague and very wide exemptions are all specifically mentioned in the IPCC bill. So essentially, we would be better off not doing anything. Not that we are suggesting that, but we would be better off not doing anything than passing this IPCC bill, which would take over the duties of the EAIC and then put it in the hands of a far weaker body.
I wanted to pick up on something that you mentioned earlier, which is the fact that disciplinary action is kind of a weak case in this, right? Because the commission doesn't have power to do so. It will pass on recommendations to the enforcement bodies that you mentioned earlier. What impact does this end up having, or could it end up having, on the disciplinary process?
Well, I think it's meaningless for any particular body to only be able to make recommendations. Currently the EAIC can make its findings public, and it has. But as I said, even the EAIC itself has complained that its recommendations are not followed. For instance, in 2018, it found that the police had committed several breaches of conduct and abuse of power over the death of S. Balamurugan. The police had essentially, in that case, disregarded a magistrate's order for Balamurugan to be released, and he ended up dying in custody subsequently. So the EAIC, after doing a pretty good job of investigating, I would say, found the police responsible and recommended prosecution against all officers involved. But that did not happen. And in another example, I think the Suhakam has found the police responsible for the enforced disappearances of Amri Chehmat and Pastor Raymond Koh, but nothing was done about those two cases either. So I think recommendations without the backing of sufficient powers to compel any sort of action is meaningless.
The other thing that's been brought up quite a bit is the fact that, according to this bill, police officers can be members of the IPCC. What are the possible ramifications of this?
Well, I think, as you, Lynn, you mentioned earlier, it sort of makes a mockery of the word independent in the IPCC, right? An important part of ensuring an independent police commission is independent are measures to protect it from any sort of political pressure or undue interference, whether by executive powers or the police force itself. So for it to have credibility in the eyes of the public, it cannot be seen to have any sort of connection with the police force. So this is why we think, you know, the appointment of commissioners, not only can they not come from the police force, but it cannot be the sole discretion of the prime minister, nor can the chief executive of the commission be appointed by the home minister. And these are two things that the IPCC bill actually proposes.
Now, in the lead up to the IPCMC that people were hoping to push through, I think one of the main concerns that came up from the police force was the lack of avenues to appeal against decisions that would have been made by the commission. How would you respond to that?
Actually, I'm not very sure what the specifics of this argument is, but I think if that is the only concern, I would think some form of an avenue for an appeal can be provided for in the legislation. I think our intention is not to deny the rights of police to be heard. We just want the rule of law to apply to all, even the police.
So in the meantime then, has there been any progress made in investigating the deaths in custody cases that have been highlighted?
Well, I think this is probably something the Home Minister and the police need to answer. As far as we are aware, promises to investigate the deaths of Ganapathy, for example, S. Sivabalan, who died just an hour after arrest, or Umar Farooq Abdullah, just to name a few. So the promises have just remained that, promises. But instead, you know, journalists, human rights defenders, and even politicians who reported or commented on these deaths have been investigated. And I just want to add one thing. You know, this effort to establish an independent police oversight commission is not new. It's something that was proposed way back in 2005 by a Royal Commission of Inquiry. So that's 16 years ago. Countless number of consultations, assessments, debates, and all that have taken place. I think the time of debate should actually be over. But sadly, I think, you know, the government wants to take us in the opposite direction instead.
What are you hoping to come out from this memorandum, you know, of the civil society organizations objecting fundamentally to the IPCC?
Well, we hope that the MPs, when it comes up for tabling, because we expect this to be this bill. Actually, the government themselves have said that it would be tabled soon. So as soon as possibly end of this month. So we hope that the MPs will reject this bill when it comes up in Parliament. And I think that I just wanted to say that there are a few things that the public, we hope that the public can do. For those on active on social media, we urge you to post content using the hashtags TolakIPCC and IPCMC now. And Amnesty International Malaysia, we're also running a campaign for you to write to your MPs. We're making it super simple to do so. We set up a site, and all you need to do is just enter your name and your email address and pick your constituency and hit send. And we will send a pre-drafted email on your behalf to call your MP to reject this IPCC bill. So to learn more about how to do that, you can visit us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, AmnestyMY. That's our handle, to learn more how to do this. I think this is urgent, as I said, because the second reading of the bill could be tabled soon as the end of this month.
Brian, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That was Brian Yap, research consultant at Amnesty International Malaysia, talking about the IPCC bill. And I think just to reiterate, if you would like to make your voice heard on this, the hashtags on social media are TolakIPCC and IPCMC now. And for more on that website, really, that helps you write to your representatives, you can check out Amnesty's social media handles. That's Amnesty MY, so across the board, right? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and the like. And we've been talking today about the IPCC and why it is that civil society organisations are objecting to it in its current form. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On an entirely separate note, after the 7:30 news today, we will be talking about Free Guy on Popcorn Culture. So if you've been feeling the need for a little bit of levity, that might help. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.